Our mission goal is coming up short, looks like. I hope you'll think about what Brother Case said. And God does put it first. It is very important. I appreciate the faithfulness of Brother Case and his wife. If you've heard his son, Brother Mike, around here, bring lessons and preach, do our youth camps. He does our children's church over there, does a fabulous job. And Brother Case, just every now and then, he slips in a little story about where you helped him and raised him. He does a good job because of what you taught him. And we appreciate him and appreciate you and the wife very much. Pray for Sister Case. She has had the surgery. She is doing well, but pray for her good, complete recovery. Amen. All right, I want you to open your Bibles to pretty much the traditional Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. A lot of the kids almost got this chapter memorized because they've had so many Christmas plays that they've been in. And I guess some folks that only come to church on Christmas and Easter, they do know this portion of the Bible a little bit, because I guess we use it pretty much every year. In Luke chapter 2, we'll look at it a little bit, and this is a good portion to read to you kids and teach them that what the real meaning of Christmas is. And let me talk to you just a little bit about what Christmas ought to mean to us. I've sometime done a little play on the words and said that I guess it was Bing Crosby that got rich off of singing "A White Christmas, Want a White Christmas." Am I correct on that? Was that the one? And I thought, little play on words, he wanted a white Christmas, we ought to want a right Christmas. A biblical one, a scriptural one, a correct one according to the Bible. Amen. So let's look at some of it right here. I'm going to pick out a few thoughts out of the story. It says, "It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Of course, that was Rome, the world they ruled. And folks, taxes have been around a long time. "And this taxing was made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." You understand, God even used this thing of everybody having to go back to his own district, to his own city. God was fixing to do something big here as he had his son come into the world. And the world was, in a certain way, as I said this morning, at the best time for the news to go out. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, under the city of David." See, that was prophecy. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem, in the city of David. So the taxing moved them. Of course, it was God that did the moving to make the prophecy be fulfilled, of course. "And it says, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." That's what the taxing required. "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son." By the way, that tells you, firstborn, she did have others after Jesus. And the Bible's very clear about that. "And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. I want to go kind of lightly through the story just a little bit, talking about what a right Christmas ought to contain. To begin with, I'd say this: a right Christmas ought to include some making. So what do you mean? Well, when he showed up, you remember how we know this by heart, the kids have had it in the plays. There was no room for him in the inn. Remember that? We need to make room for Jesus at Christmas. Amen. I think about the little boy in the play, and this actually happened some years ago. They were doing it dressed up as Joseph and Mary and the innkeeper and the manger and the whole thing, doing the play in church. And even in the practice, the preacher said he noticed the little boy getting very sober about the thing, the little boy that had to play the innkeeper. And he was the one that had to open the door when they knocked on it and tell Mary and Joseph he had no room in the inn for them. And as it came down in front of the crowd, when the little boy opened the door, the thing had been getting to him. And when he opened the door and he was supposed to say, "I have no room in the inn," he started crying. He said, "Come on in, you'd have my place." Kind of fouled up the play. But you and I need to say, "Come on in, Lord. We got room for you. Let's make room for the Lord Jesus." Amen. And so the right Christmas ought to be that we'd make room. And everything else will crowd him out if you don't watch it. It'll just be a great big social party and wonderful to see our kinfolk and all that. But listen, it's about him. It's not about us. It's about him. Then I hurry on to say that a right Christmas includes some going. Hey, they had to travel. The tax had made them travel. Even though she was heavy with child, and it was a tough trip. I mean, the superhighway was crowded, and the donkey had no overdrive. You know what I'm talking about. Pretty rough for expectant mother to ride that donkey like she had to. And right on up to the time of the birth. And so the right Christmas ought to include some going. The shepherds had to go when they were told. When the angels came out and they heard where he was and they went to worship him. I've had folks through the years in our church, we've had folks for many, many years that have driven to church 25 miles, 30 miles on a Sunday morning. Faithful. Back on Sunday night, faithful. Even when the gas prices went up, still faithful. Somebody said, "I can't go to church. I live too far away." The problem is they live too far from God. You love God enough, you'll find a way. You'll find a way to go where he's at, to go and show your love and show your support to him. And the shepherds came to worship him. And we ought to ask ourselves the question sometime, why do we go to church? Well, we ought to go to support the cause. You heard Brother Case talking about the cause of missions. We ought to go and you ought to be involved in the cause. And by the way, Jesus started the church. He didn't start General Motors. He started the church. He didn't start the job that you have or the business you own. He started the church, and it's important. You want to show the Lord what you think of him? What do you do with this church? It's very, very important. Some folks, and you heard Brother Case say it a while ago, he went over to a land that was very religious but very lost. It's one thing to go through the motions and learn even the songs and even how to talk the Christian talk. But is it really real to you? Is it genuinely in your heart? Is it really, really real? Some folks go to church for the wrong reason. I think about the lady got in the car with her husband after church, started away, and she said, "Did you see that silly hat that Sister Jones had on?" He said, "No." She said, "Did you see Miss Smith? Her clothes didn't match this morning." He said, "No." She said, "Little good it does you to go to church." Right? There's some folks like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But the right Christmas includes some right kind of going. Go to worship him. Go to his house. Too bad, and I I joke about it in a way because some folks only come at Christmas time, or they only come at Easter, or they only come at a certain occasion. The church couldn't operate with folks like that. We wouldn't get the missionaries taken care of. We wouldn't be able to run the buses. We wouldn't be able to get the job done. Thank God for the ones that see the big cause and see the need and are faithful. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And I praise God for the folks listening out in radio land. And some of them, our radio is their lifeline. They really physically can't come. But then there's some others use it for an excuse. It's just too easy to turn the dial on and sit there and pay half attention to what they're hearing on the radio while the duties of the household keeps going. But it could come if it was necessary, if their heart was really in love with the Lord like it ought to be. One preacher said, he said, there's a lot of folks that only come to my church three times. Now, he's talking about a Protestant church, wouldn't fit us Baptists, old-fashioned Baptists anyway. He said they only come three times. They come to begin with when they're hatched. He's talking about sprinkling babies, dedicating babies. So they only come when they only come three times, when they're hatched, when they're matched, that's the wedding, and then when they're dispatched, that's the funeral. That's sad. Hatched, matched, and dispatched. I don't think that's going to stand too good at the judgment. Don't think it's going to fit in very well. One day, all men's going to come before him. Book of Philippians says every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And the sad truth is that some are going to confess him, but too late. They can confess him now for salvation, but then they're going to confess him for his glory. And it's a sad thing. That's true, but a right Christmas includes some going. A right Christmas includes some giving. Now, when you get over to Matthew chapter 2, you read about the wise men, perhaps almost 2 years later, coming to the house where the Lord Jesus was. And that's where they brought the gifts. And by the way, the gold that they brought and the wealth of all the gifts they brought probably helped sustain the family for a long time. God was financing his cause. He still does. The right kind of Christmas includes some giving. You ought to give of your time, your talents, your money. And by the way, folks, traditionally at most churches, the offerings go down around Christmas time. I hate to say it, but sometimes the money gets spent where it shouldn't be. Christ ought to be on the top of our Christmas list. I used to say this in the church, and for a number of years, I think we had some folks practice it. You don't like what I'm fixing to say, but it's good. I used to say it's his birthday that we're celebrating. You'd think we'd give him the biggest gift. Amen? So I used to say this, just to really meddle. I used to say, whatever the largest amount you're going to spend on family or loved one, give a little more to Jesus. I didn't think I'd get a lot of amens, but you'll think on that some. Amen? Right, Christmas ought to include some giving. As Brother Case said a while ago, your tithe and your mission support sometimes comes in last, but it ought to be first. A Christian lawyer was talking to some folks, and they were about to file bankruptcy. They'd come to him, and they talked about it, talked about the fact he'd lost some investments and so forth, and the lawyer knew they were Christians, and he said to them, said, well, have you been faithful in giving to the Lord? And the man said, well, I was for a while, but he said, I had to quit because I was losing everything. He said, I guess you think I lost that too. The lawyer said, oh no, that's the only thing you got left, is what you sent on ahead. What you gave to the Lord, inflation can't touch. What you gave to the Lord, stock market going down won't affect. The truth of the matter is, we ought to understand that just a little bit. The ultimate giving was done by God when he gave his son. I can't outgive him. I can never give enough to show my appreciation from being saved from hell and going to heaven by grace. Amen. Ultimate giving was given by him. God gave us first what the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, I believe 9:15, his unspeakable gift. You can't measure it. You can't put a price tag on it. Unspeakable gift. I mean, nothing you can match that up with. And truth of the matter is that if we love God enough, that's the whole key. When I got saved, I knew nothing of the Bible. I knew I got saved. I began to try to study the Bible. My wife had been saved as a younger teenager and knew the Word and already taught Sunday school before I got saved and we got married. But even before we got married, I heard the preacher say, a man's a fool if he don't tithe. I had never heard the word before. So on the way home in the car, I said to her, what's this tithing business? That's what I thought he said. I couldn't figure anything close to it except teeth. Tithe, pretty close. And I still know right where the car was when I asked that question, right at the spot on the road, because I could see her tense up just a little bit. Now, she was just my girlfriend. We just dated a few times. I'd been saved. And one of the ways you know where somebody's been saved or not is their attitude toward giving to God. Help yourself. Just a few of us here tonight. I'll meddle if I want to. It's Christmas. Amen. Anyway, I saw her tense up just a little bit. She said he didn't say teeth, he said tithe. I said, what's that? She said, that's a tenth of your income. And she was kind of stiff. She knew, didn't know what was fixing to happen. I was a hot rod driver. I was living off what I was winning on the racetrack. Sometime I won and I was flush, and sometime I lost and tore up the car and had to finance it to fix it again. So, I mean, I don't remember what level I was at that particular time, but she knew that was a hard question. I said, that preacher said, man's a fool if he don't tithe. She said, tithe. I said, okay, what is it? Well, it's a tenth of your income. I said, you know, you always figure the angles. Is that before or after stuff is taken out of your paycheck? She said, well, I always give God the benefit of the doubt, so I tithe on the gross. And I've been doing that ever since. I have ever since. And you've heard me tell the story, but I want to hear it again. I had a partner on that race car. And he didn't show up at the track all that much, but he was my 50-50 partner on that car. And I basically kept it repaired and with some friends and mechanics, and I drove it. And so she told me it was the gross. So the next week when I had my winnings, I tithed. And I remember I was, of course, still living at home. We hadn't got married, and he'd always meet me on a Sunday afternoon, generally, and I would show him how much the expenses was, how much I won, and then what was left over we'd divide right down the middle. So that afternoon he showed up right after Mother fed us a feast. She always did that. And I went out there and met him in the driveway and told him, you know, one tire, one this, one that, and what over, and here's what's left, and here's half of it. Gave it to him, and he quit looking me in the eye. He started looking at the ground. He started kicking the dirt with his toe. And I said, what's the matter? He said, Mickey, it's not all here. I That's still funny to me. You won't get it, but I didn't see it just like it happened yesterday. And he said, it's not all here. I said, well, you know what? I went over it again. Then I said, oh, I forgot to tell you I tithed off the top of that. He said, you done what? I said, I tithed 10% off the top. Now, he went to church like Brother Case was talking about. He was a church member, but I'm not sure how real it was. I hope it was, but he said to me, he said, well, now it's all right for you to go to church. And he said, but you didn't have no right to tithe off my money. Now, you know what? He was right. He was. But in the flesh, I didn't think about him being right. I just said, you won't drive the thing. He said, no, no. You know what? He tithed the rest of the time that he was partner with me. Because I just did it that way. Never brought it up again. Never brought it up again. And you know what? I can tell that story now, and it's fun to tell it. You know what I believe? I believe that God has taken care of me, my wife, all those years. And I believe with all my heart I can't outgive God. And in a sense, Amen. He's obligated to take care. And that's what he says, to meet our needs by Christ Jesus. That's what he said he'd do. Now, if you're stealing from him, robbing from him. Now, don't get mad. I hadn't preached much on tithing all year. So it's Christmas time. The year's about up. So I'm unloading the wagon a little bit on you right now. Truth of the matter is, Christmas ought to involve some giving, right kind of giving. Giving to the Lord, amen? Not just to everybody else, but giving to the Lord. And a right Christmas ought to include some telling. What did these shepherds do? They began to spread the word, didn't they? Do you think an experience like they had, with the glory of the Lord shining around them, the message from the angel and going and seeing the babe in the manger, do you think they could be quiet about that? I don't think so. And I say today, when you've had a real experience with the Lord, it's hard to be quiet about it. It's hard not to say something about Jesus. You love him. You serve him. He lives in your heart. How can you not speak of him? And the truth of the matter is, there's folks all around us that need to hear. Boy, they need to hear in this day of confusion and sin and evil and all the deception that's going on. Now, right, Christmas ought to have some telling. It was announced by the angels. And by the way, with all the negative that goes on at Christmas, more drunks than any other time, understand that, more abuse than any other time, and yet the whole world knows something happened on what they call Christmas. You understand, when Jesus come, he marked this world. It's never got over it. You know, he divided the calendar from B.C. to A.D. Every time you pick up the newspaper, it's got a date on it. It's recognizing Jesus Christ was born because he split the calendar. Amen. A right Christmas will include some telling. And it was taken up by the shepherds from the angels, and it's our responsibility now to keep on telling. And by the way, it brings joy when you tell others. Lord says, and I'm pretty much through talking on giving, so you can let your breath out. But there's something about what the Lord said, more blessed to give than receive. You get a blessing from helping somebody, meeting somebody's need, giving. Fellow tells a story, and I guess it happened a long time ago when a dollar bill was worth a lot more than it is now. But he said he was on a cold street. I believe it was up in Chicago, New York, one of the big cities. And he said he saw a little boy just leaning on the wall, just crying his heart out. And he said, I went to him and I said, son, what's the matter? He said, you don't understand. He said, Daddy was sending me to the store with a dollar. And he said, I've lost the dollar. I lost it out of my pocket. Something happened to my dollar. And I can't go home and face Daddy. And he just bawling his heart out. And the man reached in his pocket and got a dollar, and he said, "Here, son," said, "go ahead and get what you're supposed to get at the store." And he gave him the dollar. Said the little boy looked up at him and looked up in, at him in the eye, and he said, "Mister, are you God?" He said, "You know what?" That little boy went on, but he said, I had the warmest feeling in that cold weather I'd ever had inside. He said, "I walked around the block hoping I'd find another boy that lost a dollar." He said, "I wanted to do it again." You know what he was talking about? More blessed to give than receive. There's something about it, something real about it, amen? But I think about the right Christmas here. Biggest thing I can tell you about the right Christmas is you ought to do some receiving. God's gift was in that manger. God's gift went on to live a perfect life and lay it down on the cross of Calvary and pay for our salvation and offer it to us as a gift. Amen. And that's a gift we ought to receive. Amen. Oh, listen. At the right kind of Christmas, we ought to be doing some receiving. We have a lot to say, and I'm not much on Christmas trees and Santa Claus. That's been added. You don't find that in the Bible. Had nothing to do with Jesus. If you want to see God's Christmas tree, it's an old rugged cross. If you want to see His gift, it's His Son hanging on that tree, shedding His blood for you and I, that we could have our sins forgiven and be saved. And I'd say to you tonight, best Christmas you'll ever have is when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't matter whether it's June or July, August or December, it'll be Christmas when you receive the Lord. Know you've been born again. Know if you did die, you'd go to heaven. Know that something's different now. Amen. Somebody, the Holy Spirit forming Christ in you, lives inside and makes a difference. Greatest Christmas I ever had was when I got saved, and it hadn't ended yet, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now, I hope you've received Him. If you haven't, I give you a Christmas invitation. Come and receive God's gift. Amen. Let Jesus, God's Son, be your Savior. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can get saved. You can leave that seat, come down the aisle, and trust Christ. Yes. Let Him pay for your sins and write your name in heaven. Man, you'll never get a Christmas gift like that one. It's not one that you'll ever wear out.